At Lowe's, before the holidays is the perfect time for upgrades and upkeep. During Black Friday, get up to 50% off select major appliances and buy more to save more with up to an additional 25% off when you bundle select major appliances. Plus, grab select DeWalt 20-volt max drill or impact driver kits for just $99. Lowe's. We help, you save. Valid through 12/3. Selection varies by location. While supplies last. See Lowe's.com for more details.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour with opportunities to grow their career and their paycheck. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
Dive into the mind of former NFL quarterback Clint Sterner.
I was thinking about coming out of the shoot here, been telling y'all about my new boots that I got on, but y'all want to talk about puppy chow?
Wait, what is that, ostrich?
Hell no, it's python.
It's Sterny's Daily.
Before we get to that boner.
On The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
Dirty's Daily is powered by my man Tim Duree over on the east side. Baytown, Mont Belvieu. I know you're out there listening, Big Tim. Appreciate you, man. Appreciate you for listening. I'm going to let you give you a shout out today, man. Appreciate your power in the old Dirty's Daily. I know it's exactly what you'd like to be tied to. Hopefully the rest of them church folks ain't listening and wondering why I'm tying you to old Dirty's Daily that don't know what that means, Tim. But greatly appreciate you. Texans. The Texans got a monster win on Sunday afternoon, y'all. And what did the win actually mean? Other than you beat what a lot of folks believe is your rival, the Indianapolis Colts. What does it mean beyond that? Number one, this win opened up the possibility of to me, not just the possibility, but I think it's worth having a conversation about right now. I think it's worth having a conversation about the Texans winning this division, right? Right now, the Texans beat the Colts, which eventually led to the Jacksonville Jaguars winning. So the Jacksonville Jaguars took over the lead in the division because they've got a better record within the division where we sit right now. Right? Back to the Texans. You beat the Colts and you positioned yourself to potentially make a run, not just to the playoffs, not just as a wild card team, but you positioned yourself to potentially win the division. Right? What's beautiful about this is you still got the Colts again at the end of the season in a game that looks like it's going to mean something. A couple of weeks ago, I think I heard a lot of conversations about, well, that might be a for sure win because the Colts might have locked the division up by then. Well, that has changed. You're going to see the Colts, and I think it's going to be for something. But I think the bigger part of this is the Colts and the Jaguars still have to play each other twice. So somebody's got to lose them games. That's going to swing the division in a major way. And so the Texans have positioned themselves to now have more than one route to the playoffs. You can win a division, you can get a home game, or you can have some things not go your way. You bought yourself a little bit of grace. Some things may not go your way, and you've got a little easier path now to one of those wild card spots, which there's three of them, so you get a little easier path, if you will. You bought yourself some grace there to not have to win every game remaining on your schedule. So monster win this week. They did it in impressive fashion. They did it in belt to ass fashion, particularly on the defensive side of the football, and made it tough for the Colts offensively, with the exception of a couple of good plays. Tip my cap. They made some plays, but they made life difficult for the Bills. The Colts offense and a hobbled Daniel Jones. Ryan, that was a big win, and this team is in a much better position. Not necessarily a power position yet in this division, but in a much better position with five games to play.
Yeah, I think you got to look at them differently. I think you got to look at the Texans differently going on the road and winning a game. Like, listen, the Colts had to have that game. Right? They needed that game too. Now, so much so that Jacksonville has taken over the lead in the division that they have had all year long. And now when you look at the rest of their schedule, they could be in some trouble with back-to-back road games at Jacksonville, at Seattle, the rest of the way. So you went up against a team that needed it as much as you did, or at least wanted it as much as you did, and you were able to go in there and went on the road. So I think you got to look at this team differently as not just, ooh, boy, can they find a way to, yeah, with help to get into the playoff, to this team can get in the playoff and has the potential to do some real damage in it.
Absolutely, man. And it was a big win. And here's the deal. We know that the Texans defense is the headliner now and is going to be the headliner for this organization probably for a while, but definitely the rest of 2025. All right. But I think what really gives them an opportunity here, and what has changed for me anyway, what has changed with this team over the last handful of games, is the growth that we've seen on the offensive side of the football. The growth that we've seen on the offensive side of the football for the Houston Texans gives this team a real chance to be a contender in the AFC with anybody in the AFC, right? The defense is great. The defense is going to give you the read. They're going to frustrate, slow down, overwhelm any offense they're up against. The real question is, can this offense be consistent enough? Can this offense do the simple thing savagely well to not lose games, to take advantage of mistakes when the defense forces opponents into those mistakes? And I think we've seen the growth on the offensive side of the football that makes me more of a believer that they can do that. I'm not just convinced that they can do it, but I'm more of a believer today than I was a month ago. That's for damn sure. What I'm talking about offensively that gives this team a real chance, it's really across the board. Ron, they look like they found a pretty good starting five offensive linemen. It's the first time in back-to-back games that the Texans have started the same offensive line. And this appears to be the best five if you watch the film. And this is a unit that has done a good job pass protecting, has done a good job running the football. They have been complimentary. They've been good enough for this offense to be complimentary to a great defense. Starts there with the offensive line, right? Then when we go out wide and we look at the others, not Nico Collins, not Dalton Schultz, the others, right? Jaden Higgins, rookie out of Iowa State,
he's coming on, boy.
He's become a problem for defenses. When they overplay Nico and they give him free release, or they give him no help over the top, he has the ability to make a defense pay. And I think it's very real. We've seen it for about three or four games now. It is an absolute problem for defenses, right? I don't know how good he's going to be. I don't know how high his ceiling is. But I know the rookie receiver can definitely be a guy that can hurt a defense if they all of a sudden want to tilt coverage to Nico Collins. He's proven that. That's a huge step in the right direction. You look at Xavier Hutchinson. He's a guy that, be honest with you, it's probably disrespectful the way that I kind of just gloss over him and go to other guys. He's constantly showing up in big moments, in big games, and making a play or two that changes the game. He's coming. Woody Marks, the running back room. Woody Marks is at a point where the last three or four games, he's getting 70%+ of the snaps. He's getting the majority of the carries. And he's changing the game in critical moments, whether it's the end of the game yesterday, getting the first down that allowed the Texans to end the game with the offense possessing the ball, or it's last week where there was a couple of times in third and short or fourth and short situations where there's an unblocked defender in the hole and he makes that guy miss and he goes and gets the first down, right? And so that guy is coming, right? I think Nick Chubb is a guy that he's a really good 1B, right? He's a really good number two running back in this offense. Cade Stover's playing a lot, he's impacting the game a little bit. So I just think this offense and how that Nick Caley, how did I have this conversation without mentioning Nick Caley? Good guy. Nick Caley is consistently significantly better than he was a month ago. He turned a corner, and I don't know if it's just, hey, man, give us time to get install this offense or if he's learning or what. But the last month of football that Nick Caley has called on the offensive side of the ball has been impressive, has been really good. There's opportunities for the quarterback to protect his offensive line. There's opportunities for his quarterback to take shots and hit shots. There's opportunities for his quarterbacks to throw touchdowns. He's had to get creative down inside the 10-yard line, inside the 5-yard line, because you're not able to just run the ball straight downhill. I think he's done it really well. We've seen Nico Collins. We've seen Xavier Hutchinson. We've seen Jalen Noel. We've seen, obviously, Woody Marks. We've seen all these guys use inside and outside. And now if you're game planning for the Texans, you got to defend sideline to sideline with these guys. And so I think Nick Caley's done a really good job. This offense and the growth that we've seen for the Houston Texans offense is really what gives you a chance to say or even think, have a conversation about this team being a team that can compete in the playoffs in the AFC, a team that could potentially make a run behind its defense to an AFC championship run. The growth on offense has been significant over the last month.
And yes, I saw somebody texting earlier, can we please talk about the lack of creativity in the red zone? And I would just say, listen, maybe they're not scoring touchdowns every time, but like, I mean, they're not just running their head up the middle, right?
Right.
But like both touchdowns, like I thought getting to the outside helped Nick Chubb get there. And then you want to say lack of creativity, the way they got the ball in the hands of Nico Collins and had everybody flowing the opposite way. Hell, Dalton Schultz took two steps going the way where I think the Colts thought play side would be. And then he spun and spun out of it and became the lead blocker and got an easy walk-in touchdown on that play. So, are they great offensively? Is Nick Caley great offensively? I wouldn't say that right now, but it's clearly improved.
Don't have to be.
No, you don't.
Nothing about this. CJ doesn't have to be great. Nick Caley doesn't have to be great. Nico doesn't have to be great. Nobody offensively has to be great for this team to play well and win playoff games. All you got to do is continue to grow in the right direction, continue to embrace this offense and your role in this offense, let the defense do its thing, and you can win games. They're doing the simple things savagely well, like playing the running back that gives you a little bit of grace if you don't block it perfect, right? Like make sure the quarterback gets the ball out of his hands so that he's not destroyed and you don't lead the league in sacks every time the protection's not blocked up perfect. Like playing your best five offensive linemen instead of rotating two guys at left guard, right? I mean, they're doing things that make sense. And not forcing Christian Kirk, right? You got this Higgins kid out here that's constantly getting run. They're doing things that make sense, and it's starting to bear fruit, and it's a beautiful thing. Ryan, on the D'Amico Ryan, I mean on the red zone, you mentioned the red zone woes and not being great down in the red zone, even though they've been better, right? Here is D'Amico Ryan's on if the Texans finding more red zone solutions now versus if they're finding those solutions in the red zone now versus the real struggles that were going on early in the season.
And for us as a coaching staff, we're willing to do whatever it takes to try to improve. We won't continue to do the same things. I feel like they've done a really good job offensively of, you know, adding some non-traditional type plays in the red zone to put us in position to score.
I love it. Boys, it's that simple, man. I mean, we've talked about this all year long, and I've been frustrated at times with D'Amico. This is all I want to hear. Is, hey man, we're not going to sit there and beat our head against the wall and keep doing the same things that we're not good at. We're going to find some new wrinkles. And as I just said, we got through with the conversation. I think Nick Caley has found, whether it's just some basic Woody Marks outside runs, getting big Trent Brown on the outside, getting Dalton Schultz out there on the outside leading Woody Marks, or if it's getting the ball in Nico Collins' hands in a creative way and getting him on the edge. By the way, I know we talk about how hard he is to tackle, but it does when he's out there running the way he's running, it doesn't even look like he's gonna be able to make guys miss or he's gonna be able to get extra yardage, and they just fall off of him. So it's really, really impressive. So That's D'Amico Ryans on the red zone issues. And, you know, look, we'll see if they can continue to do that. One thing I talked about on the postgame show last night, Ron, was, you know, we got a couple of people that are frustrated with even an attempt to try to run the football downhill. What I like about what the Texans have done is they've been able to sprinkle in these runs, which at some point is going to make it easier to run inside. They haven't completely went away from trying to run the football inside, which that would be silly if they did. They add in all these wrinkles. Now teams have to respect that. Now your team's better at running that football inside and out and the exotics, if you will. It's got to loosen up what's going on inside the box and give you a chance to run the football downhill now, which your offensive line needs. You don't have an offensive line that can just line up and run it downhill against any and everybody. So I really like what they're doing. The way they've mixed these wrinkles in, the fact that they've worked obviously is important. But I really like what they've been able to do over the last couple of games of working in those wrinkles, being successful, executing those wrinkles, and now a team has to defend you sideline to sideline. It should open up some seams on that inside once again.
Yeah, and obviously with CJ as well should help also.
Oh, yeah.
With those different
things. Absolutely.
Yeah, I got it. Yeah, I that's one of the things that I think you got to respect with this group is, listen, I don't know how great they're going to be. And I do think there are going to be some defensive coaches that give them problems. And clearly they do, right? I mean, we see a space where the offense seems to shut down the last couple of weeks, even though we're seeing some changes. But I'm glad at least we're seeing some changes. They're not on short yardage just running the ball. At least now we saw the tush push with Stover. Now it seemed like that maybe stopped working there late, but at least there's something else. That worked a couple of times for short yardage. Going outside worked a couple of times for short yardage. And you got to give them credit. The Colts knew that they were going to run the football and had to stop them to get the ball back, and they were able to get a first down and running the football when they knew they had to. So, yeah, man, the offense is definitely coming along. All right, the biggest story in the sports world outside of the Texans, we'll get back to them. Remember, we're out early. 5 o'clock as the coaches show with D'Amico Ryans follows us is Lane Kiffin. He is speaking to the media now, and wait till you hear what he had to say about his new job. We'll discuss Lane Kiffin coming up next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit DetectTheSOS.com to learn more.
Cyber Monday is on at Blinds.com. Transform your windows and get your home ready for the holidays with up to 50% off site-wide. Plus, doorbuster deals on popular styles at Blinds.com. Blinds.com is the number one online retailer for custom window treatments. Go DIY and do it all 100% online, or choose white glove service with expert design guidance and professional installation for a seamless start-to-finish experience. Whether it's blackout, motorized, sheer, or solar, you'll find massive deals at Blinds.com on premium brands that make any room feel warm and inviting. With Blinds.com, you can browse online, order free samples, and schedule professional measure and install with vetted experts. Backed by award-winning designers and thousands of five-star reviews, Blinds.com has helped millions pull off that wow reveal before the guests arrive. Hurry, Blinds.com's Cyber Monday Super Sale won't last long. Shop now and save up to 50% site-wide and get a free professional measure. Limited time offer, restrictions apply.
Thanks to TikTok ads, I was able to open up a business with my childhood friend and even hire employees. My name is Julian, and I am one of the founders of the Snacks Lab. We are an exotic snack company. We import snacks from all over the world. We had over $100,000 in sales from our TikTok ads in the first month. So our orders went from 5 a day to over 250 orders a day. You definitely have to use TikTok ads.
TikTok for Business is helping owners like you reach new customers every day. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
It's a Mokarem Injury Lawyers Reaction Monday on Sports Radio 610. Live from the Mokarem Injury Lawyers Studios, here's The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
All right, welcome back in as we are live here on The Drive. I feel bad for Texas fans, some of you. I see Larry and Stafford.
Texans?
Texas.
Okay.
Not for Texans fans, you're rolling. There are people who really think that they're going to get into the playoff.
Larry's like trying to convince himself right now.
Oh, Larry! Yeah. Larry is for real. He's not the only one. I've been talking to people up and down the text line. Guys, it's not happening. I mean, that was a great win. I mean, Texas A&M. That is a great win. You're not jumping two lost teams. Hell, right? If Alabama loses, they don't jump Alabama, do they? They beat Georgia on the road. Alabama would have three losses. By the way, Alabama, do they get in if they lose? With three losses? That would be complete BS.
The thought is that the losing a conference championship game can't hurt you. It can only help you. Like a conference championship game can't hurt you. It can only help you. That's what I was trying to say, not losing it.
No, I get you. I know that's what they're saying.
Well, I mean, the thing about Alabama is, depending on how you lose to Georgia, if you get skull drugged by Georgia,
if they lose the way that Texas lost to Georgia,
then it's they are literally because they got beat by Florida State, a bad Florida State game to start the season. So you literally are in the same boat, same losses, same, you know. So you're in a then it's going to come down to the fact that Texas has three wins against teams that are right now are in the college ball playoffs. That's the strong point that they can hang their hat.
Yeah, they can hang. And to me, let's just say them.
And the way you finished, obviously.
Let's say for them, they went. Alabama beat Georgia in Georgia. You got just absolutely mollywopped. Like a head-to-head type of, or a common opponent, the best common opponent that they've faced. Like that, I don't know. Texas they're playing well right now, but I don't think that's happening at all. That's a lot of teams you've got to jump.
No.
Yeah, I mean, a big, big, huge win. Big win. Three losses. I think that's going to be hard to overcome, but that's all right. Anyway, the Texas was not the story of the weekend, although Sark has been on everything to talk his team up, as he should. He was on Cowherd, said, "I unequivocally believe we should be a playoff team," as he should, fight for his team. But Lane Kiffin in the SEC was the big story, and he just had his introductory news conference in Baton Rouge with LSU. Here is Lane. This just happened. Here is Lane getting introduced as the head coach of LSU.
"I'm very honored to be the head coach of LSU. I can sum it up by saying this place is different. And having watched this place for a long time, having been on the other sidelines in this stadium, this place is different. And that's why we're here. We have a lot of work to do with that. But I'm very grateful for the opportunity to lead one of the elite programs in all of sports. Leaving Ole Miss was extremely difficult decision. And in that, we tried every single thing possible to continue to coach the team through the playoffs and to continue to coach the players. In the end, that was their decision, and we totally respect that and appreciate the time and energy that we tried to figure out a plan to do the best thing at the time for those players. The last 6 years of my life have been the best 6 years of my life. And I owe that to all the players, all the assistant coaches, and the people of Oxford. But the opportunity at LSU, as I said before, is just different.
It is just different. Best job in college football. I'm sure the Ole Miss people feel great. Haven't heard that, but the last 6 years were the best 6 years of his life. Clint, I know a lot of people are, I think a lot of the Lane issues come from a lot of stuff Lane has done in the past, and even a little bit here. But to me, Lane Kiffin took a better job. And I've sat here with you, Clint. You have covered college football in the SEC for years, and you think LSU is at worst a top five job in the league in college football that people covet. It's one of the best jobs when you talk about the ability to recruit, the players, the money. They're going to give him a budget of $25 million. It's been reported for NIL to go out and get players. Listen, he took a dream job, and the way that the college football schedule and the dates come about, it forces him to make a decision to either take the dream job in that place or be the one that looks like an a-hole for leaving players in the middle of the season. And I don't think he's an a-hole for leaving the players in the middle of the season. I think the schedule and the dates force him to even look more of an a-hole than Lane Kiffin needs. Lane doesn't need help being an a-hole. And this scheduling makes him feel that way. And he didn't screw the players. Hell, just like those players were going to leave him.
Lane would have been a fool to not take this job.
Yeah.
Absolute fool. I mean, people can talk about, you know, other coaches staying and, you know, and using it just to get more money at their respective, you know, spot. This is a different animal in so many ways. If you're interested in winning national titles, he just removed some immovable hurdles, if you will, that exist at Ole Miss. He just the path is so much easier to get a championship caliber program, players, support, everything around it at LSU than it is in 99.9% of places. I mean, it's just different. I agree with you, man. It's just different down there. You get a chance to not only become one of, if not the highest paid coach in football, and you get to do it there. Yeah, you got to take that one.
Yeah, it's just a tough situation, and I think this is a situation, Clint, we're going to run into a lot more, right? To steal a word that Tyler said, hey man, if your team is going to the Pop-Tart Bowl, or the Cheez-It Bowl, you know, or the Duke's Mayo Bowl, or the Citrus Bowl, whatever, that feels different than, all right, man, there are 12 teams that have a shot to go.
Yep.
And play for a national championship. And we're going to start to run into that, because whenever teams like LSU and Florida or Penn State are looking for new coaches, they're probably looking for coaches that are either at the same level as them or maybe just below, like an Ole Miss.
Well, Ron, the beautiful thing about this, the beautiful thing about the Lane Kiffin saga, if you will, is that I believe college football will change for the better in response. I don't know how the NCAA doesn't put some kind of guardrails in place to keep this from happening, right? You always say, like, they allow it, they allow it, they allow it. Then all of a sudden something really extreme forces you to change. I think this is that. They're going to have to change the schedule. Nick Saban's on College Game Day talking about it. Obviously, we're listening to Lane Kiffin. Clearly, you can see what happens to the program. The kids, the fan base, the student body, the administration, the University of Ole Miss. I mean, it's the good thing is I think we're going to see some change, and
it's got to be, man.
Well, it's not. This isn't one of those where you're asking for change that takes money out of kids' pockets or takes money out of coaches' pockets. Like, those are going to be very difficult. Like, changing NIL in kind of like what it is. That's not going to happen. That's going to take time and some real controversy. But saying, hey, man, a coach and a player cannot leave until the college football playoffs are wrapped. The minute you hand a trophy to somebody, national championship trophy to somebody, then everybody, All is fair.
And recruiting, too. And
all of it, yeah.
And
players and coaches, yes.
Signing day needs to be moved back because what is it? Early sign? Was it January?
Well, you can, you can do what you want. You can do what you want with signing periods for high school athletes. I don't care what you do with them. I'm the transfer portal and the coaches being able to or being forced into positions to make decisions like this has got to change. Like you can't have kids threatening and holding programs hostage for more money before the damn college football playoffs start. You can't have coaches exiting the building for teams that have worked all year long to get to the college football playoffs, and they're assured they're locked in. Hell, they may have they got a home field game the first, or at least they would have had a home game in the college football playoffs. You can't have this happening. I think this is just so extreme. I think the NCAA ends up responding, and I think that it ends up impacting transfer portal as well, which is going to end up being beautiful.
I hope so. It is wild to me that this has just been, it's been allowed. Hey man, we got a situation where a season happens where just by the dates, there's a potential of you don't finish after season.
It's a shame, it's a shame, Ron. It's so dysfunctional. The NCAA is that you didn't see this coming. You didn't make changes before it got to this. Like, you could have done this a year ago and said, look, this is what we're going to be up against if we leave it the way it is. We got to get this fixed. But they don't. And they allow teams that have their programs have fallen to a point where they're firing guys and paying them $50 million to leave. Those teams, those programs, different programs year in, year out, those programs are impacting crowning a champion. Every year. It's not just this year with Lane Kiffin. This is just the outlier. I mean, it's every year.
Yeah. It's rough. All right, coming up as we continue, we'll get T-Mill's best bets. Remember, he has been smoking these NFL bets. We'll do that coming up in a bit. Remember, D'Amico Ryan's The Coach's Show comes up right after we get finished. So we'll be out at 5 o'clock. And I want to see if you were bothered by a couple of things. The end of the half and the approach of D'Amico bypassing the points and going for that tush push with Cade Stover twice. We'll discuss that.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. Just something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
My new podcast, Crimes Of, explores the forces behind some of the most unforgettable crimes in history. Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Coming up next.
It's a Mokarem Injury Lawyers Reaction Monday on Sports Radio 610. Live from the Mokarem Injury Lawyers Studios, here's The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
It is a Victory Friday, a Victory Monday, and a Reaction Monday, and even more to react to as D'Amico Ryans. He will have The Coach's Show coming up as soon as this segment ends, 5 o'clock, so make sure you stay tuned for that Texans All Access coming up behind the Coach's Show. They'll be done at 7 o'clock, and then you can catch Monday Night Football beginning at 7, courtesy of our good friends at Westwood One. The Giants and the Patriots. The Patriots looking to stay alongside the Broncos and staying at 2 losses and getting to 11-2. As they will take on the Giants. 7.5-point spread there. So we'll see. T-Mill's best bets coming up in just a bit as well. All right, Clint, a couple of things that happened yesterday in yesterday's game, and I wonder, were you bothered by them? Let's start with the fourth quarter. Were you bothered by the decision of D'Amico deciding to go for it? He goes... they're up 4 at this point, had a chance to go up 7. He then goes the Cade Stover tush push, which had been working. They got stopped the first time. He was aggressive and said they're going to go for it again and decided to do another tush push And obviously, if you remember, they weren't able to get it and turn the ball over on downs to the Colts with a chance for them to go ahead in the game up down four. Here was D'Amico explaining that decision post-game to the media about going for it on fourth down and two.
Yeah, during that series, we were driving the ball down, felt really good of how we were driving the ball. Honestly, on the first third down, I felt like we got it. I felt we had really good movement, and I told the guys to do it again. Just being aggressive there, that's my call as the head coach. I'm aggressive, so, hey, it didn't work. That happens sometimes, but it's not going to stop me from being aggressive.
All right, that was him speaking about that, not the fourth and two, but two downs in a row, third and fourth down. Going forward with the two-spits. Do you have any problem with that aggressiveness?
No. Yes, I disagree.
You wanted him to kick it.
Yes. I don't have a problem with the tush-push twice. If you're going to be aggressive, I have no problem with the tush-push, given what we'd seen earlier in the game. And given how we struggled lining up and running the football with running backs in between the tackles. So I have no problem with the call. My problem lies with the decision to go for it there. Overall, the risk associated with it just to me, you know, far outweighed the reward. With our defense, kick the field goal, go up seven, and you put losing that game in regulation out of reach. And so, yeah, if you're gonna play this conservative, death by a thousand cuts, just don't turn the football over, minimize penalties, let's minimize risk. If you're going to do all that, then when you get a chance, let's take some points. And let's make it more difficult for the opponent versus your defense. And so, yeah, I would have kicked a field goal there.
It's going to be interesting how they handle things. It looks like they go conservative. But for me, Tyler and Clint, my thought process is always hey, if I got a defense like that, to me it's like that means I get to be aggressive. When I have a defense like that, to me that's to me would be my thought process is I feel good about this defense. Let me be aggressive, and I'll just end the game.
He did,
and I didn't have a problem with it. I for that thing. I didn't have a problem with it right there, but I don't know if he consistently does that because in the second half against the Bills, I think they said to themselves, yeah. Let me slow this down with our defense.
Yeah.
I like the thought of I got a defense like this, let me be aggressive to really put offenses and teams in a bad spot. Let me go up double digits to see if they're going to be able to do that against our offense as opposed to being conservative. It looks like they lean conservative. I didn't mind it. I loved it. Just didn't work. And then your defense came and shut it down, like you would have confidence in doing. But if they get that first down, they take some more time off the clock, potentially score, and it really puts that game out of reach. But we'll see what they do. All right, coming up, as we said, the coaches show right behind us. D'Amico Ryans, as he will recap what happened with the Colts and then get ready for this big Sunday night game against Kansas City. That comes up right as we get finished. All right, Tyler, what's T-Mill's best bet? What you got? A little NFL action, a little Monday Night Football. What you got tonight?
Yeah, last time we talked, we were still putting people in the green, putting people in the money. Went 3-for-4 on the rivalry week bets. Yes, the one bet we missed was the Aggies -2. That's fine. Enjoy your Pop-Tart Bowl Longhorns. We'll be playing for a title.
It's going to be a better bowl than that.
Here are your four wagers for tonight, Monday Night Football in Foxborough, between the Patriots and the G-Men. First, I'm taking the Giants and the points. I believe the line is currently sitting at Giants +7. I got in at +7.5. I like +7 for the record. If you can get it there right now, I'd take it anyway. Giants +7.5. Then I'm on the under tonight. I teased it a little bit. I believe it's been between 46 and 47. I took Giants Patriots under 47.5 at -130 odds. And then a player prop from each squad. First, the quarterback for the New England Patriots, Drake May. I'm on under 244.5 passing yards for him tonight. And then for the Giants, pass catcher, receiver, Wandell Robinson, I'm on over his yardage for receiving, 59.5 receiving yards. I'm on the over for Wandell tonight. Those are your four best bets. Lock them in, get you some money, start paying off that Thanksgiving turkey.
Like the Robinson one, he's the one that's really come on with the injuries they've had over there, in particular with Malik Nabers. So I like what they've done there.
And Jackson's back.
Jackson Dart's back. Yeah. Dang, I wish Jameis was playing. Jackson Dart is back. Yeah, seven and a half. That's not
Tim
bad.
Tim Kelly calling him plays?
No, Mike, or for who?
For the Giants.
Is Tim Kelly calling? I thought Mike. I thought Kafka
was the head coach, but I'm pretty sure
Kafka was still calling.
Now
him
he late. May still be calling him, but yeah. I think old Timmy boy is the OC.
Is he? I thought he was still calling.
Timmy.
Mike be silly if he was giving up them play calling duties right there to him, man. You better show you can call them plays. Head coach over there. Damn, Jameis. No Jameis tonight. You think Jameis gets in there?
Man.
They might need to put him at receiver.
We need to find some way that man's in front of a microphone on a weekly date.
Jackson wasn't a concussion or anything, was it?
No, that's what it was, I believe. Wasn't it a concussion?
Was it a concussion?
Jackson was
with
a
Jackson?
Concussion, yeah.
I can't remember.
That's what had him out, yeah. Yeah. I think the Bears did him in with a concussion.
Mm.
Yeah, so, it'll be a good one tonight. So check it out. Go ahead and get yourself a chance to win a little cash. Go to at T-Mill Real Deal if you need a refresher on his best bets. Again, as we said, the coaches show with D'Amico Ryan's coming up right behind us. Tomorrow, big day, a Texans ticket Tuesday, right in the 5 o'clock hour, your chance to win a pair of tickets to the Arizona game. So a lot to get to on Tuesday, a little tape drop Tuesday as well. So stay tuned for that. Clint, great job. Tyler, great job. I am Ron, the show. As always, Houston, we love you, baby. No, stop.
Go have fun at the Pop-Tart Bowl, man.
They'll go to the Citrus Bowl, but I just think that, I mean,
those old Pop-Tarts are funny as hell. Watching them run around.
He turned the page around, quick, man. Didn't he?
It did, man. It did.
Tyler, I love you too, man. You so H-Town.